right, well, let's get this meeting started. Good evening and welcome to this April 24th, 2013 special board meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Capistrano Unified School District. To get the festivities started, I've asked Vice President Lynn Haddon to lead us in the salute of our nation's flag.
I would like to do this pledge tonight in honor of the victims of the Boston Marathon.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Lynn. At this point, I will entertain a motion to adopt the agenda.
I move the adoption of the agenda. I second.
All right, motion by Bryson, second by Haddon. Thank you very much. All right, at this point, we'll proceed to roll call. Jane, would you be so kind?
President Alpe.
Present.
Trustee Haddon.
Here.
Trustee Bryson.
Here.
Trustee Adonisio.
Here.
Trustee Hanasek.
Here.
Trustee Pritchard.
Present.
Trustee Reardon.
Here.
All right, let the record reflect. We have a quorum with all trustees present. Moving right along, we'll start with board and superintendent comments. Does the superintendent have any comments at this time?
Yeah.
Since seeing none, any from fellow trustees? Jim, your light's on. All right, world's quickest comments section. We'll move on to the next item. Okay, we'll start with discussion action item number one, goals and objectives for the ongoing work of the district superintendent. At this time, I'll recognize Superintendent Joe Farley.
You asked that this special meeting be held so you'd have a bit of time to talk about these goals. I know there's been discussion about most of them. It occurred to me that some of them would still require separate approval and action by the board, a construction project, etc. And I think of them more as benchmarks than specific goals. I think many of them are able to be done within a reasonable amount of time. Maybe we'll find that other challenges emerge or something becomes a greater priority that affects one or two of them. But I see them as some specific tasks that you have asked that we take on. You might recall that you submitted these yourselves, the new ones, and I wrote them and massaged them into this language. So if there's any further discussion or questions or clarification, additions, this is the purpose for this meeting.
And just as a reminder, I just want to say that these are the goals that were provided to me, at least the new ones, and we put them all in here. The ongoing goals are the ones that we've previously provided to the superintendent. So before we get in discussion, we do have some blue cards, so I'm going to go to those unless there's any objection.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Okay, are there any other blue cards that come in? I'm going to cut it off at this point, so we're just going to go with what we have. There are four cards. Delilah Van Campen, followed by Aaron Flynn, followed by Jenny Ficaro, followed by Holly Schaefer. If you just come to the podium, please. And time of the clock should be 3 minutes, Jane.
Is this like that?
Start at your convenience.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us here. My name is Delia Van Campen, and I am a parent at Marblehead Elementary as well as at Short Cliffs Middle School. I am the current PTA president for Marblehead and have been a part of the Marblehead community for 7 years. Please note that I am speaking as an involved parent and not on behalf of PTA. Over the past 7 years, I have seen many changes at Marblehead, both good and bad. Although this is my final year at Marblehead, a little sad, I am the parent of a fifth grader. Marblehead is still my home school, and I take a personal interest in what happens there. I am encouraged in looking at the detailed agenda of Dr. Farley's goals and objectives for 2013-2014 that it includes the strengthening of the neighborhood school concept. I think that for Marblehead specifically, this is a step in the right direction. As many of you are aware, the current demographics of our school do not represent our neighborhoods, our surrounding neighborhoods. The changes that have occurred at our school over the past 4 or 5 years have unfortunately had a negative impact on our school, as evidenced by our declining API scores. Yes, I am aware that API scores should be looked at in a multitude of ways, by demographics and socioeconomic status, et cetera, et cetera. There's a ton of ways to look at API scores. And yes, I am aware there is more to education than just API scores and testing. For my own children, they both had wonderful elementary years with some amazing teachers to whom I will forever be indebted. However, from a community perspective, the API score is the gold standard by which schools are compared and measured, whether we like it or not. Right now, many of the elementary-aged students in our neighborhoods surrounding their school attend charter schools, private schools, or, sadly, other public schools in San Clemente. We have to change that. I believe that the Marblehead community would be stronger if our school had the support of all the parents in the surrounding neighborhoods. I sincerely hope that the district is firm on their commitment to strengthening the neighborhood school concept, especially as it pertains to Marblehead Elementary. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Aaron Flynn, followed by Jenny Vaccaro, then Holly Schaefer.
Hi. Sorry, I'm so outside my comfort zone right now, but okay. Hello, my name is Erin Flynn. I'm a concerned Marblehead parent. I have three children at Marblehead, and in the 5 years there, I've seen a big change. Marblehead has always been a diverse school, and we love that. But since 2008, the number of English learners and socioeconomic disadvantaged kids has doubled. This is largely due to the fact that we are busing such students in from areas outside Marblehead's attendance boundaries. 40% of our current student body falls within this demographic, and as I understand it, this is double the citywide target of 20%. While the addition of these students from outside our boundaries comes a huge strain on our school. Our teachers struggle to teach these kids and bring them up to speed. The extra stress that it puts on our teachers affects all of our students. Our parents are stretched to the limits. We can't fill the seats on our PTA, and that's with many parents taking on dual roles. Fundraising to continue supporting programs that we have funded for years gets increasingly difficult. We have watched friends and neighbors, sorry, it's a very emotional subject, leave for other schools because they just can't handle it anymore. As I understand it, we're losing more people next year. Our 40% that require so much extra attention currently have the lowest APA scores they've had since 2008. So while we're here complaining about the situation, it's not benefiting them either. Marblehead has carried this burden long enough. We want to return to a neighborhood school. We're happy to support those in that demographic within our boundaries. We want that. But the way it is, it's just too much to handle. I thank you for adding the neighborhood school concept to the goals and objectives for next year. I urge you to make decisions that will impact our school sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Thank you. Jenny Vaccaro, followed by Holly Schaefer.
Good evening. My name is Jenny Vaccaro. I am a former Capistrano Unified teacher, as well as I have been a Marblehead parent of three children for the past 8 years. And with a kindergartner, I plan to be there for another five. When I enrolled my oldest daughter in 2005, I was a teacher at Vista Del Mar, also in San Clemente. I attended both kindergarten roundups, and I chose Marblehead because I liked the small community feeling there, and I wanted her to go to school with the neighborhood children. Over the past 8 years, I've watched an increasing number of students who do not live in the Marblehead neighborhood enroll at our school. Unfortunately, a large number of these students have a high level of academic and behavioral needs, and that has negatively impacted teaching and learning in our classrooms. Additionally, the majority of these families are unable to volunteer their time in our classrooms and at our school facilitating the many programs that parents provide. Now, our teachers and our families who do volunteer, many of those who are here tonight, are bearing an unfair burden of working to meet the needs of children who do not reside in our neighborhood. As the academic achievement at Marblehead has declined, I have watched prominent Marblehead families who made a great impact at our school choose to leave and enroll their children in private schools, in charter schools, and other elementary schools in San Clemente, which unfortunately the district has allowed. Some families in our neighborhood are choosing other schools for their kindergartners because of Marblehead's low scores and reputation. This is causing our demographics to shift even more dramatically. I ask the district to take action to ease the burden that has been placed unequally on our school. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Last speaker, Polly.
My name is Holly Schaefer, and I'm going to keep it short because pretty much everything has been said. My twins, we've been at the school for 2 years now, and my twins are in first grade, and unfortunately, I'm one of these parents who have put a lot of time in the school, and I'm thinking about doing open enrollment for next year. It pains me because I've developed a rapport with the school, and again, I wanted my girls to be in a home-based school, to be able to walk to school, to have their friends go to softball and dance school and be close by and stuff. And it breaks my heart that how two schools that are within 2 miles apart are so different in demographics. I went to that school today, and the principal says they have nine ESL, and I said, oh, 9% is really good. She said, no, 9 kids in the school. Like I said, I love the kids in Marblehead. I'm a room mom, but I am so burdened with all the, you know, a third of these kids in first grade, I am not a teacher, but I am an educated girl, and a third of these can't even read a level one book to go on to second grade. And so it breaks my heart. These teachers are awesome, though. I mean, it just twists my head to see how they are, you know, given Lupita a lesson plan and Brill a lesson plan and different lesson plans so that they can get all the different levels, but they are just totally burdened. The parents are burdened, too, and I don't want to give up, but I just feel like I just have to move on. So again, I just hope you can just think about these ladies and the school and everything like that. Again, especially in December, it did not help that you, I think, are going to lose more of those parents that, again, we are the lowest 10% of the Capo District. To me, when you have 33 elementary schools, that means we're in 31st, 32nd, or 33rd place, and that is not good for my girls. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Having no more comments or blue cards, move to discussion. Any comments from trustees regarding the superintendent goals? Amy?
I'd just like to thank the parents for coming out. I know that you're not only concerned about your own children, but the big picture. You're looking at your school that you love. It seems like just yesterday also my children attended Palisades. And so I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing this and bringing this up. And I, of course, always, we will strive always within our district to do the very best for each child. So thank you.
Gary.
Superintendent Farley, could you give us a little background on this neighborhood school concept and sort of your vision for how to lay this out?
This was recommended as a goal by one of the trustees, and I think it relates to some extent to what happens when we have a dual language program that is not open to English speakers who don't want to enroll in a dual language. And you create this singleton type of school. We have three of them. And then you're forced to move children to alternative schools from those neighborhoods that don't want to enroll, the children whose parents don't want them to enroll in the dual language. So that's part of the issue here.
If I could just interject, I mean, I was the one who put that on there. That was my goal. The idea was we do have a number of special programs, and we are creating new programs, but along the shuffle, we've lost focus in terms of our neighborhood schools. Marblehead was one of the considerations. We've adjusted the boundaries for Vista Del Mar a number of years ago, so some of the immediately surrounding communities that are immediately immediately around Marblehead, for example, go to Truman Benedict, and we have some areas that probably should be better served to go into Truman Benedict. We actually bus them past Truman Benedict to get to Marblehead. So, I mean, there is the element of the special program, in this case would be Las Palmas, but you've got immediately surrounding areas where they're going to other schools and vice versa. So I think we have an opportunity to make minor modifications to attendance boundaries to restore the concept where these students could actually walk to their neighborhood school.
This is not an educational, philosophical sort of viewpoint. It's more about the boundaries.
It's the boundaries and allowing these students the opportunity to walk to their neighborhood school again. That's really what it is. I mean, when I hear that students are being bused past one elementary school to get to their own elementary school, there's a problem, in my mind at least. Ellen, did you have anything you wanted to add? I'm sorry.
I agree. The whole idea of a neighborhood school could be an agenda item unto itself, and I would look forward to that discussion. There are numerous schools throughout the district which parents may feel similar to the parents who are here today.
I agree, and that's why it's a general, not just for one or two specific schools, but I do agree with your sentiment. Jim?
Yeah, just two comments. One question, really, for Dr. Farley. Has the ELL component at Marblehead changed in the last year dramatically, or is it? What's the trend been?
I think the thing that has changed may have been more in the last 2 years, that a larger number of students are choosing to go there. There was one point when there was, just for illustration, one busload of students. Mm-hmm. Now there are two. So it's a larger number of kids that are going to that school from other sites. Now we have students going through open enrollment and other arrangements at all sorts of schools that aren't in their neighborhoods, but they provide their own transportation. We approve those student by student.
Okay. So would it be true that, I guess what I'm getting at is this something where we direct a student to a specific school, or are parents making that choice?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. The open enrollment process allows them to apply for open slots at any school they wish that has space. But then we also have students that we're assigning to a specific school from a certain region. And now we have that in place for Vista Del Mar. No, excuse me, for Las Palmas and for San Juan and Viejo. I couldn't think of Viejo.
Right. Yeah.
And really, in at some point, we may need to revisit that, and maybe we get to the point that we do have enough rooms and funds to again have an English only program at those schools that also have dual language. It's very conceivable that Viejo, that at some point in the future, when houses turn over and families move in, that there will be a larger number of children who reside in the Viejo neighborhood who want to go to that school.
One question that comes to mind when I look at the school, I was glancing at this arc while people were talking, and it's not a very big school. How many students would be there without the ELL component? Would the school be open?
Are you talking about
at Marblehead?
Okay.
Based upon the comments that we heard, we're looking at two different areas. One would be one tract that is, I believe, called the Las Campanas track, and that's a track that President Alpe referred to that is passing one school, Benedict, to go to Marblehead. There are approximately 102 students that are located in that attendance area, and of those 102 of the demographics, we have approximately 97 of the 102 that are English learner students. We also have students from Las Palmas that have the opportunity to go to either Marblehead or Palisades, and the majority of students opting out of Las Palmas to go to Marblehead are English learners, and there are approximately 90 to 100 students there.
So this school would be down in the low 400s without that component?
We would be down approximately 200 students if we took both of those areas away.
Would it be fair for me, just trying to understand what this is all about, it's similar to Ambule. If
That would be correct.
Right? Similar problem.
Well, if I could interject here, I mean, we're talking about swapping neighborhoods, so it would be a one-for-one. I mean, we're talking the areas that are immediately surrounding Marblehead.
Yeah, I was getting to that point. It sounds like we need a boundary adjustment.
That's what this is about,
right.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right, Anna.
First of all, after my statements here, I'd like to hear from Dr. Farley and Julie, Dr. Hatchell also, if I may. First of all, I want to thank you for your knowledge and your astute observations of a problem I've been aware of for some time. And this doesn't go to the heart of the boundary issue, but to the heart of how do children who are so have to reach so high for basic vocabulary come into the classroom, work with other children, and not stress the teachers to the ultimate point. I spent some time 3 years ago with all of the teachers in one of those circumstances. I spoke to 15 teachers, and they told me that the issue is largely that the children coming in actually don't have a vocabulary beyond 10 to 20 words when they come in. They're left alone. They only have the TV. They don't have parenting or even older children on many occasions with them. And the teachers were, and you are absolutely correct, the teachers were exhausted. They were strung out. And that was 3 years ago when I did this in depth. So my concern now goes to Dr. Farley, how with this do we help those children become productive learning students so that they can advance and do better? I know we've been working very hard on the EL issues because it's a big issue for me. I was an EL, even though I'm an American citizen, I came back. But I had a family that talked to me a great deal in Spanish and finally in English and gave me the words that I needed. So I hope that you have some compassion, I'm sure you do, from your statements. I can tell that you're as concerned for them as you are for your own, and I certainly commend you for your compassion. But I would like to know what, in a broad perspective sense, how do we help the students that are advancing more rapidly, which would be your students, and the students who are struggling when they're already in that environment?
That's kind of a dissertation that I would have to give to answer that. We have a program that we've devoted a lot of time to. We started it my first year here. Every school has gone through extensive training on how to reach every kid in a classroom, regardless of what their issues are. You know it as you've heard us refer to it. We're focusing on instruction more than we ever have before. All of our teachers have been trained in it. So I think we are addressing it. I think there's, you know, we're in a public meeting. I can't be as frank as I might want to be if we were talking about personnel. There's other things that we need to think about. There's a lot that goes into making a school effective.
Could I also ask, is there any way that we can work with the parents to make them understand how desperately critically important it is for these children to have a vocabulary?
Of course, yeah.
And I'd be happy to do that with you, to speak to parents about it,
okay.
Because I've lived it, and I would be more than happy to volunteer to do that to assist you. Because if we don't have the input of the parents, if we don't have the help of those parents, and you were talking about the parents are busy, they're working, I understand that. But when they are around these children, they need to understand they must talk and interact with these children. And I would appreciate having the opportunity to work with you all on that.
Thank you. Lynn?
Okay, so obviously I believe this issue is really important and perhaps should be agendized by itself in a meeting or have some other alternate discussion, and I appreciate the parents coming out and their concern. However, we're 25 minutes into a meeting that's supposed to be about superintendent objectives, and we've talked about one topic, and that is disconcerting to me because we have an entire school district. We need to ensure the goals are set. So I'm not sure how to separate the two, and I don't want to minimize the importance of this topic, but it is, I think, essential that we really focus on the major topic at hand, and I don't know how to address the other and make sure that we keep continuing the conversation. So that's my first comment.
Well, if I could just say, I mean, that's one of the goals if we, for the superintendent and staff to handle going forward on a different item, that's fine. So if you have other goals you want to talk about. So.
I just don't believe the format is particularly helpful because how personally I look at goals, and I think how we've done in the past is taken themes of what all the trustees have submitted, and that has been the goals, because these seem to be individual goals whereby it doesn't represent all of us, and there are way too many. So it might be interesting to have the discussion and pull out themes in each of the areas that we have written here, such that we're able to have overarching goals, and our job as a board is to set policy, and the specifics are with our cabinet and our folks who work at the district office, and I think we have to keep our eye on that. So there's the issue of what we do with neighborhood schools, but I don't believe that necessarily should either be discussed tonight or an overarching goal, unless we all agree that that's one of the major goals we want to focus on. So I'm not sure how to best organize it, but I just don't feel this is addressing what Trustee Reardon was talking about the other meeting, and it's not meeting my needs either to address the goals for Dr. Farley.
We haven't done it this way, and I mean, I may just be brutally frank, and I'm assuming I can. Some trustees, some of you, had specific things you wanted done, and you wanted them on a list, and you wanted me committed to doing those. And that is how this document ended up being developed. I'm very comfortable with taking direction and doing individual tasks, but I do think these are a little specific for goals. And so what are you going to do when I don't accomplish, you know, number 1.3 or something? And so I could take this and redo it in a different format that might group them in some general categories around instruction and facilities and those kinds of things that are more global. This would also be the basis for my evaluation. But really, I think all of you have worked with me for a while. If you give me a task to do, I, for the most part, either convince you that it's not something we should do or that it should be modified, or we do it. And I'm comfortable with that kind of direction.
So my opinion is, yes, I think that you'd probably be best suited to take these very specific, this very specific list and put them into themes. And I don't think you could be evaluated on each of these individual checklist items, but rather themes. And if there's something very specific that isn't being addressed, that as a board we should discuss it and perhaps give you guidance on how to best manage that.
I'm comfortable with that.
That's my opinion.
Ellen?
Did you want
Sure. Well, first of all, just to kind of close on the subject of Marblehead, big topic, and I think that it's one that is district-wide. One of the things I'm sure everybody on this dais would support would be efforts to reach out into the parent community. These people that are on the campuses are not well represented in the PTA. And in the private schools, they're not represented in the PTA either. There's a cultural thing that needs to be overcome. We have that problem throughout the district, and I would just like to encourage you all, you know, to reach out a little bit, if you can, where you can, and when it doesn't work, you know, it doesn't work. But we have to realize that throughout the district, we've got about 20-25% of these kids, and they're on lots of campuses. Some places maybe too many. That's something to talk about. But please don't give up the cause, because it's important. Second, I support what Len had to say there. I think that Dr. Farley is probably best suited to formulate these goals into something we can work with. I was also going to make the suggestion that if we think we need to have a lot more discussion about it among ourselves, that we get some sort of independent person to work with us as a facilitator for a conversation, somebody who's accustomed to helping with the development of goals. I think Dr. Farley's probably done that throughout his career, but since the goals are for him, an alternative way to go about it would be to have an independent person, you know, help the trustees with the formulation of more general objectives. That's my first point. My second one is that this school district has pillars, it has ESLRs, it has mission statements. We've got a alphabet soup of kind of goal-directed general objectives or objective statements that are connected with our schools, and they're not reflected in the superintendent's goals. We need to try to tie these things together so that we can say that what's written on the wall at San Juan Hills High School is somehow reflected in the superintendent's objectives for the district. And if we get that right, we'll have everybody marching the same way. So I support consideration of the other goals and objectives that we already publish and we try to live by. Where we find a school, for example, we've got a few of them that don't really have goals or objectives. Maybe that would be a goal or objective for the superintendent, would be to bring goals or objectives to an individual campus where they don't presently live. So I support the idea of reformulating this list into a set of manageable items. And lastly, I think that they need to have measurement metrics attached to them. Those don't have to be hard metrics, but there should be some way for us to look at a goal or an objective a year from now and say we've met that objectively and not have a big disagreement about whether we've done so. And so in the course of formulating the goals, I think it goes to Dr. Farley to come up with a way that he can declare victory on the, you know, on the particular things that he comes up with that are general.
Okay. Ellen?
Thank you. I like this. It's a wish list, but it does need to be honed down. I think it should be more thematic, as was discussed by several of my colleagues here. And specifically, Mr. Reardon addressed an issue that was important to me, and that is that there's some level of measurement, something that can be attained, and how are we doing 1 year from now? And so just looking at this, and I'm off the top of my head, I'm looking at human resources, provide additional staff, it says continue collaborative efforts, increase the number of campus supervisors, da-da-da-da. And so if we go ahead and put that together, perhaps something that would be there is a level of measurement such as, I don't know, performance reviews on certain level of employees. And I thought we worked on that several years ago, so perhaps rotate that if we have, I don't know, 100 employees who we think need to be reviewed or whatever, and do that so that it's something that you can work on and incorporate these items into it, and it's also something measurable. So that, and whatever other ideas people have, if we need to then be more specific about that. So that's the idea of a measurement and something to be attained, I think is worthwhile. And then as it's moving along, it is or is not worth it, we can then go ahead and review the success of that and the progress of it.
Thank you. Amy?
Two things. First, positive with the Marblehead community. Just historically, just to go back, like I said, my children attended Palisades. Now, all of the areas that we are discussing went to Palisades. Marblehead was not open. It opened when my younger one was going through, except for Las Palmas. So we're always adjusting. We had fabulous leadership at Palisades. Not everything's always perfect, but it was just this wonderful experience, and I hope that eventually we can get to that point for all of you as well. Now to admit a little stupidity, I guess when I got this exercise, I didn't quite get it, so my apologies if I've muddied the waters in any way. I thought this was more of like a brainstorming exercise, so I really second what Lynn and Ellen are talking about, bringing things down. Now, as an overview, as a learning curve for a new trustee, reading about these ongoing goals has been very positive for me. So I'm like, wow, I had no idea of half of this. So my apologies if I muddied the waters, but I think I'd like to get on task with the rest of you who are a little bit more savvy regarding this. So sorry.
If I can interject here, you know, part of the reason for doing this is also we've had a number of trustees come to the superintendent with a large number of specific requests. So part of this exercise was also just to put a list out there and sort of this is the closed universe and not just give them a continual stream of things. So, I mean, I understand that I hear all the comments about we need to organize, put metrics and so forth and so on, but can we at least agree this is a starting point for us and that we may not be adding other specific things, at least for the the foreseeable future until we get this resolved? Is that a fair...
That's a fair assumption to me. I certainly think it's a working document. I certainly think it has everything that everyone wanted in it. Mine the least of all, but definitely it's all there. So I do think it's not necessary to have a facilitator, with all due respect. I think we have someone here who's the most superior superintendent I've ever worked with, and having worked with a lot, unfortunately, I think I can say that he is more than competent to take what we need to do and put it in a way that it's easily reviewed by everyone, and in some format where everyone is comfortable when they can see a result. But I really actually would be more comfortable in my case if Dr. Farley did it, because of his expertise at every level. And he, after 3 years, really knows this district pretty darn well, and I think he would have the best handle on the advisory, even though he's working from it, and maybe even because he knows how much is required of effort to achieve each one of the different oversight goals. I think everyone else's comment, beginning with Lynn, is correct. I think it does need to be made simpler, smaller, and so forth, but I think that Dr. Farley should be the person who does that. Thank you.
I mean, also, this is a living document. Goals are going to change and evolve over time, and I just don't want to say, all right, we have no goals until this is a perfect, complete document. I mean, I know this is going to change significantly, but it keeps the dialogue going. I mean, if in theory we decide not to do anything, then this is not the complete goals, and, for example, nothing may happen with respect to Marblehead. I mean, we still have to make a decision on the issue before any changes occur, for example, but this at least gets us started, and this is a discussion that will continue. Is that... Because we're not going to vote on this. This is more to give consensus to the superintendent.
I guess I'll respond, because I think part of that touches on what I was getting at. First of all, I'm comfortable with Dr. Farley doing the distillation of this. The issue that I think we have to get to is that this really is a board member's wish list as it starts, and it's for the superintendent to go through a process of turning it into a set of objectives that we can all agree encompass our wishes. But at this point, this is not a set of objectives for the superintendent. It's a wish list written by trustees. And so I think that we need to be careful with the statement that you just made, John, about is this all there is? Well, that tends to imply that there's something exclusive about this set of goals. And as we go through this distillation process, this is going to become a lot more general.
And that's fair, but I'm trying to avoid specific...
What about guiding document? How about use that phrase instead?
Yeah. Right.
The working document.
Yeah. Okay, so I leave it at that. The point is, this is not an exclusive set of goals for the school district. We may identify
fair enough,
other
but
goals.
That's fair, but this is an evolution. This is a living document.
Right. And we may add new things to our wish list.
And we may take things off. That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Some may roll on, some may roll off. I agree that it's going to become more general, and as a result, this is going to become a more refined and presumably smaller document.
Hopefully.
Yes. Ellen, I'm sorry.
I'm fine with that, as long as this doesn't close the discussion with regard to facilities, because we have so many needs at that level. So
by no means at all. I agree.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, this is a discussion, and there's no action for us to take. It's more of a consensus at this point. Do you have a sense of where the board is?
Yes, but what I was kind of thinking about is I'm the one who sits in the superintendent's office, and there's like 10 new goals every single day. And, you know, it just is part of doing this work. And we try to get back and revisit the ones that are our primary ones and the important ones. But I can come up with something, I think, myself that will meet all of what you just described.
Okay, so do we have a consensus? I get the sense we are. I see nodding heads.
Yep.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. So with that, we'll move on to motion to adjourn. If we could have a motion to adjourn until our 6 o'clock. I see a motion by Bryson.
Second.
Second by Reardon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming out.